This is 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. Good evening, folks. I'm Corey Crow. We're at the Iron Cactus in downtown Monroe, and we're talking tonight about marijuana policy in Louisiana. Before we begin, I just want to say we don't really have a side on either side of this issue. This is just kind of an informative deal, so you can ask questions, find out more. Some of you are, you know, in favor. Some of you don't have a position. Some of you are against this. That's all cool. Ask our panel tonight plenty of questions. We'll start by introducing our panelists for this evening, and I'll start here on my right. This is Tim Hitt. Tim is a lobbyist for a group called Simple. Tim, tell me a little bit about Simple and why you're here this evening.
Yeah, so Simple stands for the Sensible Marijuana Policy for Louisiana. We're a group that lobbies for cannabis reform in the state as it deals with medical marijuana. I'm also a public speaker for the Law Enforcement Action Partnership. We're a group that advocates reform, whether it be criminal justice or drug laws, to improve public safety.
Tim is also at Fiesta Nutrition and is a former law enforcement officer who is on the pro side of marijuana. Dr. Jeffrey Evans, PharmD from the University of Louisiana Monroe School of Pharmacy. Dr. Evans is in Shreveport. And Dr. Evans, you're here tonight because you're going to add the scientific part of our mix. Tell us what you do at ULM.
So I am the department head for our group of pharmacists that help train all of our wonderful new pharmacists that come out every year. We just graduated 93 this previous weekend, and so I supervise the pharmacists that do that. And I actually specialize in pharmacy law, so I advise pharmacies on kind of how to do things and pharmacists how to avoid going to jail.
And we have Dr. Estes on the end from Aimwell Recovery Center. Dr. Estes, tell us a little bit about what you do every day and what you do at Aimwell.
Hi, my name is Thomas Estes. I usually just go by Tommy. Every day at Aimwell Recovery Center, I basically look at people, of course, who got some kind of chemical dependency problem or process addiction type problem. I've been doing this since 1991. I've worked in two residential centers for a number of years, and so now I'm doing intensive outpatient and outpatient dealing with chemical dependency and process addiction.
For the folks who are joining us by radio, we've got a huge audience tonight. Audience, as you have questions, just raise your hand and I'll come to you. But I'm going to start with Dr. Evans in the middle, our pharmacist, and let's start here. You were telling me the other night you warn all the pharmacy students. There's a big disclaimer. The state of Louisiana is headed towards medical marijuana. However, we might have a problem with the feds.
So as you're probably aware, marijuana is not legal, even as medicinal marijuana. So the Board of Pharmacy and our rules and regulations for pharmacy begins the chapter that says, yes, you may dispense marijuana, with the statement that says, by dispensing marijuana, you may go to federal prison. You may lose your ability to bill Medicaid and Medicare. You may lose your ability to have any controlled substance in your pharmacy. And so we're kind of unique in Louisiana that we've picked pharmacists to be the ones dispensing. In other states, they've chosen dispensaries, where they're usually some sort of licensure, but they're not regulated by the state as much as a pharmacist is. Because realize, these pharmacies are going to open up as separate entities. So they won't be Eckerd's or CVS pharmacies that have these. They will be Mom and Joe Pop's marijuana pharmacy. And so that pharmacy is going to have its own regulations and everything, but that pharmacist is still a licensed practitioner. And the way that our federal rules are written is that if we are busted for marijuana in a felony, we may never again come near controlled substances as pharmacists. And so the board has this nice disclaimer warning everybody interested in the very first section to say, hey, you can do this in the state, but realize there is no protection if a DEA agent or any federal officer shows up. They can arrest you for having pounds of marijuana, and you can go to the same federal prison as anyone else without any protection from the state.
Tim Hitt, down on the end. Tim, tell me right now, Louisiana's headed towards medical marijuana. What are we talking about? Are we talking about pills or smoking it, or where are we at?
Yeah, so the patients will be allowed to have tinctures, soft gels, capsules, transdermal patches, and suppositories will be the only recommended forms for the patients to get their medicine. There will be no smoking of any loose flower or any raw or crude product.
No smoking, no vaping, pretty much most everything else.
That's correct. No edibles.
No edibles at this point. I'll ask Tommy, Dr. Estes, the folks that you see every day, You see a lot of folks, I'm sure, that even though this is illegal, they've been self-medicating for a while. You and I were talking earlier in the week. Is this a gateway to other things?
That would basically be the major concern from an addictive perspective, okay? The brain is not fully developed for a woman until about the age of 26 years of age, and for a male, it's about 28 years of age. And I mean, people in this group has probably tried marijuana in your adolescent years before your brain was fully developed. Now, what is going to be said here basically is a difference here is that it focuses on the C2 receptor site in the brain, and we're dealing with CBD versus THC is where the medicinal type marijuana. However, you know, you've got a population that's going to try that and then take it to another level. So there is concerns regarding addiction, how much this is going to possibly promote and add to addictions.
Tim, let's talk about that. I see something called CBD. What is CBD? What's the deal with that, and how's that different than maybe the marijuana you might get high with?
Well, so marijuana, just along as agricultural hemp, contains THC and it contains CBD. In most cases, it's the CBD that's doing all of the work, but there is a place for THC. What threshold that will be at will be left up to the Board of Pharmacy. They will be using the least amount of THC as that will help with that condition. So they do have a THC level.
So the CBD does have maybe a small amount of THC in it, but they're growing, what, strains of marijuana that are less, I don't know what the right word would be.
Yeah, so when they manufacture this, they can actually pull THC out. They can add CBD. So once they have harvested it and they're going to CO2 extract it, they can play with those numbers. I mean, you know, one person may not need THC for their condition. They might need CBD or vice versa. Somebody may need a little more THC for their ailment.
I want to ask Dr. Evans, as a pharmacist, there are people that are being helped. I guess the jury is out in some places, but we see kids having seizures and things like that that are being helped. Where are the laws right now? What are the conditions that that a person, when Louisiana finally gets this going here in a few more months, so what are the conditions that a person may be, I asked you the other day, prescribed, and you stopped me, because it's not a prescription.
Recommended.
Let's talk about that. So what are the conditions, and then we'll talk about what the doctors say.
So I have to check my cheat sheet because it's an ever-changing list of conditions. Originally, when we began this process back in 2015, we limited it to oncology and terminally ill. Since that time, though, we have found multiple other conditions with different reasons, and I was just trying to real quickly look through, but they include HIV, positive status, cachexia, which is kind of like a wasting syndrome that you get sometimes with patients who are terminally ill. We also see seizure disorders, so epilepsy, if they have a history of seizures, that's one of the things that we've seen, especially in kids. There's some evidence indicating marijuana can do that. Crohn's disease, which is a GI disorder or stomach disorder that makes people really sick in that regard. Muscular dystrophy and multiple sclerosis, we remember those diseases from our Jerry Lewis days. And different things along those ways. And one of the questions you kind of posed was the data. And that's where we don't necessarily, our legislators are driving what we cover in the state, not necessarily medical professionals. And so the boards of pharmacy and the boards of medicine are essentially being told, these are the conditions that must be allowable. And if you guys can create a couple more, that's great. But the ones I just listed, and now this year we also have autism, as a state bill to add it to in both children and adults. And I can't remember, there's one other they're adding this year.
House Bill 579 will add PTSD,
yes.
Parkinson's, intractable spasms, and glaucoma, and chronic
and
pain.
And chronic pain. And so that's one of the interesting things. We began with very limited, it gets approved, and even before the first patient in Louisiana has ever received a dose, we've added probably close to 15 other indications.
My name is Chanda Pulliam. And I actually have a couple of questions. My first question is, we're talking about the possible addictive nature of marijuana. Is that specific to THC or does it extend to CBD?
That's a great question because I've treated, let me just say, I don't utilize every statement or blanket statement. Every heroin addict I have treated started off smoking marijuana. you've got, as said down there, you've got to raise the CBD levels in this medical marijuana and try to lower, and not try, lower the THC. Help me if I'm wrong. Some of the research I've looked at varies. It's 4% of THC. Yeah. And so, therefore, you still, I've asked people that used, have utilized both. Okay. They say one is a mind high and one is a body high. Does it really matter if you start getting addicted to the feeling of either one? Both can contribute to, I want to take it to another level. The other question they asked is the acclimation to the brain acclimates. For it to be in one of the schedules, schedule one, it's got to have a tolerance level to it. So the brain will acclimate to it. And so therefore, what are you going to do about the levels you got to increase there?
Where does the addictiveness of marijuana compare to benzos, such as Valium, Klonopin, I believe Xanax?
Okay. The short answer is in 21 days, somebody can become addicted to benzodiazepines. Okay, so therefore you have a much higher rate of becoming addicted to benzodiazepines quicker than the cannabis.
And there's different things that can help addiction. One of the big things with addiction is how quickly it comes on and leaves. So when you mentioned a couple of the benzodiazepines that have very short spans that they live in your body, you get very high and feel very calm, and then they're gone. So you start building up that addiction, that craving form. One of the thoughts behind marijuana is it slightly lasts longer, so potentially less issue maybe. But I do agree that there is an addiction property.
I know I saw some info that one of the North Louisiana pharmacies is going to be in West Monroe. When do we expect to, start seeing patients being treated?
Well, it's hard to say. We just added these extra ailments that is fixing to go before the governor, and he's going to sign off on that. Southern, who two places are going to be able to grow the cannabis in Louisiana. It's going to be Southern University and LSU. Southern has run into a little bit of an issue with a little bit of a two guys that are investing are having a little bit of an issue, and that's put Southern behind. LSU is behind as well. So what we thought may have been August or September of this year, it's probably going to be the spring of next year before we actually see any product.
I have a question from Ronnie Scott. Ronnie, your question.
Yeah, and this is probably more so for the doctors. So you were talking about the term gateway gets thrown out a lot, and the correlation, with her question as far as all of your heroin addicts had also smoked marijuana. Do you think it's fair to use that as a standalone value, or is there also 100% that they probably also smoked cigarettes, drank alcohol? Like, is it fair to isolate that data point and leave that open to interpretation for causation, or is it important to run all the correlation through there?
Okay. What I've said by that, the first drug of choice that they chose was cannabis. I'm not negating, they didn't add to that. And after about 3 or 4 years, they discovered opiates. They typically start off with Lortab, Percocet, and then move it up to Roxy's, and finally move it to heroin because they can't afford the Roxy's. But no, yes and no to answer your question. That was the first drug of choice, they told me, but it added everything else to it.
Okay. Tim, I see you shaking your head.
Well, I think there's so much data against the gateway theory when you're talking about cannabis. I mean, the 2009 report showed there were roughly 2 million people that used cannabis. In that same survey, you only have 180,000 that have tried heroin or 200,000 that's tried cocaine. So if that were true, the numbers would be far different than they are. I just don't think that's a fair relationship to say that marijuana is a gateway drug. And let's look at it this way, too. Marijuana is also the most widely available drug on the street. So, yeah, I'm sure when you get into situations like that, yeah, it's going to be marijuana. I mean, it's just like you can't say that, you talk to 1,000 people that are heroin addicts and they all drank milk. I mean, you can't say that milk is a gateway drug. So that's a little skewed, analysis, but it follows the same. And a lot of the gateway reports and information they've had, this is really old data.
Jana Nelson with a question. Jana?
Could you go back to the comments you made that it would not be prescribed, it would be recommended, and exactly what that distinction means?
So, fabulous question. So, legally, there is a definition that medical physicians cannot prescribe marijuana. The federal government would shut you down. And since the physicians are still required to have DEA license to prescribe other controlled substances, if we required the prescription of marijuana in Louisiana, they could potentially lose their ability to prescribe everything else. So we have amended the rules to protect our physicians and other prescribers that they issue a recommendation. That recommendation is identical to a prescription, but is not a prescription because it is not illegal to recommend marijuana. It is illegal to prescribe marijuana federally. And so they don't have, you can recommend whatever therapy you want according to the federal government. But once you start prescribing something, that brings up extra issues. So it's a good way to protect our physicians. Unfortunately, it does nothing to help our pharmacists and our pharmacies.
I've got a couple of doctors here, and I just want to, would you be scared to deal with medical marijuana? Would it endanger your DEA license that you rely on for your practice?
Yes, it would. Both of us are pediatricians, so we see lots of marijuana use in pregnant women. We're concerned about developing brains. We see lots of use in adolescents. It's probably the most commonly used thing out there now, really more than alcohol. Obviously, it's cheap and readily available. I'm a little concerned. When you said autism, seizures, we've got kids that are on 5 seizure medicines and still having 4 or 5 seizures a day. Those kids, I'd probably recommend they try marijuana.
You want to jump in?
I agree that I think that that there are lots of concerns, but I think I also have the same concern about there are some appropriate uses for it, like those patients with seizure disorders. But my question would be, then if it's a recommendation, who decides about dosing? And how would that work?
We'll talk about that, guys, right after this break. You're listening to 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. We're at Policy in a Pint in downtown Monroe at the Iron Cactus. Come on back. We'll find out more about how the pharmacies will dispense marijuana after this.